In your bulletin this morning is an insert. Feel free to refer to that as some of the scripture reading we'll be using this morning. One of life's greatest moments that I can conceive is to have a long-awaited dream come true. Have you ever had one? Something that you long for years and years and years, and the day came in which that dream was realized. Well, no better example was the recent Olympics this summer. So many went away with the dream of winning the gold. And there were some that won the gold, many won the gold, but there were some that will return 4 years from now and try again. And perhaps there are others that their dreams were shattered. It raises the question of how can I increase my odds of a long-awaited dream to come true? And I turn to Scripture for that answer. Because in Scripture we find out that David, King David, was a dreamer. His whole life he had dreams, one upon another. Some, even in his youth. And he gave us the formula, the secret. That's no secret. He revealed it in Scripture of what it takes to make a dream come true. And that's in your Scripture reading here in Psalms chapter number 37. Three short verses. You may recall that King David envisioned in his mind, dreamed that the Lord should have a temple. And as he sat on the throne of David in Israel, his dream materialized. He got to be instrumental in carrying forth having a temple built for God. But even as a child, he was a dreamer. As a shepherd boy, he dreamed much. If you can imagine standing out watching sheep all day long, you've got time to dream. He was a dreamer. And one of his dreams was knowing that his brothers were off fighting the Philistines in battle, but he was left to tend the sheep. And he just dreamed one day he would be able to join his brothers and fight with them, especially that giant. And in his mind, he dreamed for the opportunity that he could participate in the battles and perhaps take down the giant himself. And he was a dreamer. And you recall what happened. His father sent for him one day and asked him to go to the mountain ridge and look down in the valley and bring me a report back how the battle's going. And all the while, he was headed for that mountain thinking, if only I had a chance to confront that giant. He dreamed. He was a dreamer. And you know the story well. God gave him that opportunity. And so he was able to bring down that giant. And I'd like for you to look at these three short verses of what David knew on how to bring about and make a dream come true. In Psalms verses chapter 37, verse number 3, it says here, "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shall thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." David trusted the Lord, and he did good in serving and being obedient to his Lord. And in exchange, God gave him a place to dwell and food and his necessities of life. And upon that, once David had his basic needs met, verse number 4, from there he delighted himself in the things of the Lord. And what did God do? God gave him the desires of his heart. And then verse number 5, the key point here, not only was God good to him in giving him the desires of his heart, but David committed his way unto his Lord. He trusted also in him, and it says here, and he, God, shall bring it to pass. This is the formula that David used all his life to realize all of his dreams, as imaginative as he could be, and the dreams that he could conceive. God gave him the desires of his heart and brought them to pass. So this morning, as we look at David's formula for making dreams come true, I'd like to take just one example in the Bible who followed these steps and had their dream realized. And as we look at this person who goes through the steps and see that it worked for them as well as it worked for David, maybe we can use these principles for a dream we have. Do you have a dream? Do you have a lifelong dream, a long-awaited dream that you would like to see? Something in the back of your mind that you just long for? Well, perhaps today, using one of the many examples in Scripture and David's formula here, we can go out and put to use and have the success that David had in his life. But while you may have a dream, and I have a dream, as a church, do you realize Trinity, we have a dream? We have a dream here at Trinity. I have been going around for several weeks asking different ones, and we had a meeting just Wednesday about the goals of the church. What would you like to see Trinity move toward? What dream do you have for Trinity? You recall we had an anniversary two summers ago, 150th anniversary right here at Trinity. And it was a glorious day. 160 people filled the pews. And it was a weekend, Saturday and Sunday. And it renewed the dream that we had that one day these pews in the back classrooms will be full again, like it once was. And so we as a church have a dream. Maybe we can learn from David and the example in Scripture today of a lady who put to practice these steps and was successful, that we too could be successful as a church to restore Trinity to the days that it once was. As a matter of fact, Petersburg, in the city that it once was. You recall, not many years ago, if you look at our city, the wonderful buildings and architecture, it wasn't many years ago that Petersburg had commerce on Commerce Street and markets on Market Street. And perhaps there were sycamores on Sycamore Street, but we know that Sycamore Street had merchants. And it was a busy city. It was a city of commerce, the great city of Petersburg. And what brought that about was Petersburg was blessed with the Appomattox River. As our country was young and growing, trade from Europe, people from Europe came to America and could come within up from 100 miles from the East Coast, inland to fertile land, right up to just about the end of Grove Avenue, where the river became rocky and ships could no longer come. And it was there Market Street formed, and Commerce Street, and Sycamore Street, and the merchants. And Petersburg was a thriving hub for our young country. And likewise, churches on every corner of Petersburg, including this one. As a matter of fact, Trinity was once on Market Street, and when Market Street expanded to Sycamore, Trinity grew this way. But then something happened. The railroad came. The railroad no longer depended on where the river flowed to take commerce. And the first railroad in America was the Baltimore and Ohio. From the Potomac River up through Baltimore, the railroad could carry commerce westward to the Ohio River, from the Ohio River to the Mississippi River, and then you were in the Midwest of America. And so Petersburg began to lose its strength in commerce. And so when I think about the recession that nobody wants to talk about in America today, Petersburg has been in a recession for many years. It's been a slow progression. And Trinity, this wonderful place that was packed, choir, Sunday school classes, we've slowly declined in the commerce. Now we stand in this new century. The commerce is gone. The markets are gone. There's hardly anything left in Petersburg. And the question is, what would it take to bring that back? Well, it would be wishful thinking that we could bring back the industries, the Appomattox Iron Works, to bring back the productivity that Petersburg once enjoyed, to bring back General Garment Shirt Factory, to bring back Brandon Williamson, and to bring back that in. They're long gone. So it would be wishful thinking that Trinity could return back, or if Petersburg could ever return back, because now beyond railroads, there's air travel. Commerce moves in the sky at tremendous high speeds. And so it would be considered perhaps just a dream. Well, I'd like to call your attention to a lady in Scripture that had a dream, and she followed the steps that David followed. And as a matter of fact, her dream took place years before David ever had his first dream. And so she could have very easily been the one who was instrumental in inspiring David to pin down the steps to make a dream come true. And the woman that I speak of is the mother of Moses. If you look in your insert or in your Bible in Exodus chapter number 2, verses 1 through 8, follow along as I read. And there went a man out of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took of him an ark of bulrushes, and dabbed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done of him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it and saw the child, and behold, the babe wept, she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child to thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. The Hebrew nation in this point in history was in trouble, dire trouble. They were living in slavery, bondage, poor wages, poor living conditions, difficulties, hardships beyond measure. Pharaoh had passed a law issuing a death sentence on all male newborns to maintain control over the Hebrew nation, to prevent them from uprising. And about that time, a young expecting mother delivered a child. Perhaps her dream was it would be a girl. Perhaps her dream might have been, well, if it was a boy, perhaps he would be born before the law becomes in effect. But it wasn't so. She gave birth to a male newborn child, and it was born after the law became effect. You know, you never know when babies are going to be born. Often they're born late. Perhaps Moses had been born on time. He could have lived. But it wasn't so. And so this mother was in a difficult position. knowing what was going to happen to this newborn male child. And she began to dream and dream. And she could have dreamed, oh, had he only been born last week or last month before the law became in effect. Had he only been born before the law. She could have dreamed in the past. Had he only been born when we were back in our homeland. She began to dream. But then she turned her dream around and began to dream not in the past, but into the future. And she began to dream, oh, may this one live. May this one escape the hand of Pharaoh. And she began to dream, what if he could escape the hand of Pharaoh, the death sentence? And perhaps I would have an opportunity to teach him the things of God and be instrumental in raising him in the things of God. And to see him grow to adulthood. And her dream just went on and on. Oh, if he would just live to adulthood. And then her dream didn't stop there. She dreamed beyond that. That he would one day become a great man of God, a leader, and lead us out of this place of slavery. Back to the home, to the land that God would have for us. Her dream just went on and on and on. Of which you might call wishful thinking. What are her chances of any of those things taking place? Well, you recall what the scripture said. The first thing she did was she hid him. Well, let's hide him under the bed and over in the dirty laundry today and the clean laundry tomorrow. And she began to try to work out her dream. But as you know, it wasn't working out very well. When I think about Trinity and I think about Petersburg, what would it take, the dream of bringing back this place? I sat often in these front pews, and I can't help but week after week look up there and see those empty pews. And it's so easy to dream in the past or what it once was. But the thing we need to learn about the mother of Moses, while she thought on the past, she turned her dream to the future. She didn't look at what if he had been born early. She looked to the forward. And she was focused in the future. And it's so hard as members of Trinity to just dream how it used to be. We need to dream of the future. To dream of these pews full again. And to see Petersburg flourish and businesses and jobs return. Wishful thinking or just a dream? Well, I want you to focus on the mother of Moses. She had a dream. She focused on the future. And in all humanly speaking, it was an impossible dream. Kind of like the one we have. Pretty impossible that industry would come back to Petersburg like the past. But yet, she still had the dream. And the first thing she did you will recall, the first thing she did, she would hide the little baby different places. And that went on for 3 months. And then later on, she made a basket and put it down by the riverside, as we have read in Scripture. And so, to have a dream come true, you first need a dream. And your dream needs to be in the future, not in the past. Dreaming in the past goes nowhere. You must dream into the future. It needs to be an impossible dream, because if it was humanly possible, we could do it ourselves. And so she recognized that her dream was impossible into the future. And so she knew she was going to have to trust the Lord and obey Him. The first thing she did, she shared her dream. She had to. There's no way she's going to hide that baby different places during the day, and as Pharaoh sent his servants in to collect the newborn males, to take them out and drop them in the Nile, she knew that it was something to do. It wasn't the solution to her problem, but it bought her a little bit of time. I have people ask me, how's y'all's feeding program going on down at Trinity? How's the train program going? How are your concerts going? Well, people come, but then they leave. Have you grown any? No. It's kind of like the mother of Moses. She was hiding the child and buying time, but her work by her own hands just wasn't doing it. And so pretty much like, I don't think my train program, my music program, was going to build Trinity back. And so she shared her dream, and it involved other people, but in their own human works, they were limited in what they could do. And after 3 months, you recall what happened. She took and made the basket and set them by the riverside, and the child grew up in Pharaoh's palace, and she got to nurse the child and instruct him in his very young years of the things of God. And then at age 40, you recall, as a man, what happened in his life. He committed murder. And it raises the question that I'd like to present to you today. You know, we watch TV and we see commentaries, we see CNN report, interview. Everybody is interviewed by interviewers. And I'd like to interview the mother of Moses today and say, Mrs. Moses, I understand you have a dream that your child would be spared from Pharaoh's death and would grow up to manhood and become a godly leader and lead the people out of the land of Egypt. And it's been 3 months. How are you doing so far? Well, not too well. He's crying now. We're about to lose him. So we wait 40 years. Mother Moses, it's been 40 years. How's your dream coming along? How's your dream of your son being a leader and leading the nation of Hebrew out of slavery? Well, he committed murder. He killed an Egyptian and he's on the run. Well, how's your dream? That's not a very good... It doesn't look like your dream. But Mrs. Moses said, but I'm trusting the Lord and I'm obeying Him and I'm committed to seeing God work a work here. 80 years passed by. Mother Moses is gone. We interview the sister. Sister of Moses, how's your mother's dream coming along? It's been 80 years. Where's Moses now? Has he led the nation out? No, he's on the backside of the desert putting out fires. But your mother was so committed. I know she was. She was so committed to her dream. Well, how about you? Well, I'm as committed as she is. We're trusting the Lord. And then you know what happened. One day, at age 80, Moses was putting out a fire and God spoke to him. And when Moses got to the point in his life that he realized all his work was not going to bring her, his mother's dream, to reality, when he got to that point, God began to use him. And as David pointed out in the scripture of Psalms, being committed and given time, God will bring about the dream and bring it to pass. And so the message here is we dream and we dream. We should have a dream. It should be an impossible dream, humanly speaking. It should be a focus on the future. We have that dream here at Trinity. But we're to work our dream, even though the work doesn't look like it's going to make much difference. Hiding a baby, making a basket, didn't look like it was going to materialize. but we did still work our dream of packing this place and be committed to it no matter what. Even beyond our lifetime. I must remind you, in 1960, two dreamers in America. One was a preacher who shared his dream. You recall the message, "I have a dream." And we had a president in the early 60s that also had a dream. He had a dream to put a man on the moon and to bring him back safely. Two dreamers both shared their dream. And the thing about sharing a dream, it creates involvement. People get involved. And you must recall, even though one dream was only 10 years in duration, neither one lived to see their dream come true. As in the case of the mother of Moses, she never saw her dream into reality. But she was committed, and God brought it to pass. And I'm not sure how many years it will take for us to realize our dream, but I'm convinced that if we follow the steps of David, as the mother of Moses did, and trust the Lord and obey Him and commit ourselves to His work, He will bring it to pass. Heavenly Father, as we think about our future as a church, as a city of Petersburg, all the dream of seeing our church restored back to the days when the choir was packed and the classes were packed and the pews packed and people worshiping God and the commerce and the business and the jobs that were surrounded in our area here. That is not a dream of the past, but it can be a dream of the future if we follow David's steps that he followed, as is the mother of Moses followed. And we too can realize our dreams come true if we follow those steps, because God will bring them to pass. God help us is our prayer. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Stand.